Welcome to the Washington Defender Daily Devotional. I'm your host, Pastor Brian Noble, CEO of Family Policy Institute of Washington. That's FPIW.org or FPIWaction.org. Hey, I hope you're enjoying this series, Getting to Know Jesus from the Book of Luke. Today's title is Be Merciful. We're going to be in Luke chapter 6, and we're going to start about verse 31. But before we do that, I want to encourage you, if you are enjoying it, to subscribe, like, share, and comment. And if you're in that Washington Defender app, place this inside of your huddle. Also, if you want to access the web app version of the Defender app, you can go to WashingtonDefender.org on any website, browser, and you can access it there. If you're a financial partner with FPIW or FPIW Action, thank you so very much for your generosity. It helps us accomplish our goal, which is to change the heart so that we change the public square. Our staff has been talking about this a lot lately, about how, you know, the reality is that policy flows out of the heart. And so to think about if we're having policy that's filled with greed or what can I get or entitlement or all those kind of things, it's because our heart needs to change. Even in our citizens, our elected officials, all those around us. So let's talk about what is happening in Washington before we get into the Word of God. According to an August 17th, 2026 Washington State Standard article, some states are adopting or considering laws that hold parents more accountable when their children commit crimes. Last night on the news, I was watching, and across our state, our country, many teenagers or young adults, technically teenagers, were breaking into buildings, were, you know, looting different areas. And this is important. We need to understand that there are consequences for these actions. And the consequence shouldn't be only on the small business owner and even the large box organizations. The article points to a growing public policy debate over whether parents' responsibility, parental responsibility laws can help prevent youth violence and criminal behavior. Yes, it can. Parents, you are responsible for your kids. I know that's not fun to hear. And I get it that accidents happen. But when it's intentional behavior of breaking into a building, looting, spinning out their cars, whatever, it is something that parents need to be held responsible for. It also raises the difficult question of how to balance accountability with compassion for families who may already be struggling with poverty, instability, addiction, and mental health challenges. I don't think the government needs to worry about that, quite frankly. I think the church needs to worry about that. The church needs to step up in these areas where poverty is there, instability, addiction, and mental health challenges are present, and really help these families move forward in a way that instills a moral character inside of them. The government has a very limited role. It's not to become the parent of all of us across around the world. The government's role is to punish evil and to protect the innocent. Very limited role. The Washington State Standard reports that these laws place renewed attention on the formative roles parents, families, and communities play in guiding young people towards wise and lawful choices. So I think we probably should start by not teaching our kids that they're animals, that they are created in the image of God, that they are filled with God's dignity, respect, and that God has ordained an awesome future for them. I think that's where we need to start. When we teach our kids that they're just evolutionary, you know, scumbags, you might say, it doesn't generate hope inside of them, and nor does it generate the idea of really wanting to be a respectful contributor to society. All right, so let's dive into God's word today. And it comes from Luke chapter 6. It says, treat others the same way you want them to treat you. So let's pray for these families real quick and for these laws that we'd have wisdom. Heavenly Father, we do pray as we dive into the Word of God today, that you would teach us what it means to treat others the way that we would want us to be treated. And so, Lord, help us to understand that you are a God that goes before us, that you are a God that surrounds us. We pray for these families that are struggling with poverty, addiction, mental health illness, all the things. God, we pray that you would go before us in all things, that you would help those families. And God, help the church to wrap their arms around them, to love them, to be that that help in their present time of need. God, we thank you for what you want to do in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So treat others the way that you'd want them to treat you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Wow. Can you imagine in our government systems if both parties pick this up? For even sinners love those who love them. We have got to pull down the polarization and the tribal mentality of the parties. And we got to figure out, how do we outlove each other? If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. He does two parts here. For even sinners love those who love them. Even sinners do good to those who will do good to them. We've got to figure out a way of how to come back and say, we are one state, Washington, and we are all Washingtonians, and we're here to build the best state versus dividing into tribes. We are the United States instead of dividing into tribes and figuring out how to do good for each other. Not just my party doing good, not just so that I have power, but really how do we do good with each other? Again, I said this yesterday, but I'll say it again. Love is not becoming a wet noodle that has no principles. Love is actually founded with a foundation based upon principle, because we have to understand that if we do not exercise self-control in our love, that is really a form of lust, all right? For if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do that. If you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners in order to receive back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good and lend. So he sums it up. He says, I want you to love your enemy. So who's your enemy in the public square? Is it your manager? Is it your boss? Is it someone from a different party? Who is it? Well, try to do this. Begin to ask the Holy Spirit to say, give me a love for them. I'll be patient with them. I will surround them with my prayers, that I will cry out to God for mercy. God, it says in Ezekiel, I think 18, God does not delight in the death of the wicked. So we shouldn't have a hope for their despair in our hearts and in our minds, but do good to them. Find ways to bless them and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. How we deal with our enemies. Did you know that while you were an enemy to Christ, he died for you? That's what the Bible says. While you are an enemy to Christ, he died for you. And that's that humility, that laying down our life that we need to have. And this is, says, and you will have a great reward in heaven. So some people say, I don't want to live for my reward in heaven. If I just get there, I'll be good enough. I think that's just a little bit of false pride. We need to say, God, this is the system that you set up, and I want to operate within that system. And you will be sons of the Most High, for he himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. Look at that. Sons of the Most High, for he himself, God the Father, is kind to ungrateful and evil men. Have you thought about God's kindness upon your life? That kindness leads us to repentance. You say, how does God show me kindness? I don't believe in God. Maybe that's what you're thinking. Well, do you breathe? His kindness allows you to have breath. Do you have shelter? God's kindness allows you to have shelter. Do you eat? God's kindness allows you to have food and provision. So we learn about how we should treat our enemies because we understand how God treats us. Somehow in our hearts and in our minds and in our actions and in our desires, we need to find a way to be kind and grateful and yet stand on principle. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. So that is our goal for today. How can we bring mercy into the political realm? How can we bring God's mercy into the public square? None of us are perfect. Now, when you hear love and you hear mercy and you hear kindness, many of us as men think of those as weak words. But the reality is, it's because we're ignorant of the true definition of those words, right? So love is Christ laying down his life for you. Is that not manly to lay down your life for someone else? absolutely is. Kindness is what God does to bring us to repentance. So does God compromise so that we don't come to repentance? No, we have a wrong definition of kindness. And mercy is that favor we get from the throne of God, even though we don't deserve it. Wow. That's totally manly as far as I'm concerned. So be merciful just as your Father is merciful. So as you enter in that public square, as you throw open those doors at your workplace, as you walk in, where is your heart today towards your enemy? Are you loving them? Maybe say a prayer for them right now as you drive into work. Are you kind to them to bring them repentance? Are you kind enough to share the truth in such a way that they hear it? Your political anger is not going to bring about repentance or change. It's out loving them. The mercy that you've received from the Father, are you extending that mercy for others? And what do I mean by that? I think sometimes we forget, we're at this point right here, but not too long ago, we were way over here at this point. And God showed mercy towards us as we matured. He showed mercy towards us as we came to this point. And God wants to do the same thing for you today, and that you extend that mercy to somebody else. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your goodness, your mercy, your grace. God, we thank you for your kindness that brings us to repentance, your love that brings us salvation because you laid down your life on the cross. God, we have drifted so far into tribalism. We have drifted so far into polarized party politics. We have looked at those who have different perspectives as our enemy. And God, even though they may be enemies of ideas and ideologies that we have, God, help us to love our enemy, to be kind to them, to be merciful to them. God, give us the wisdom to live out what Jesus taught. Treat others the same way that you want to be treated. God, will you bring civility back to our culture, back to the public square once again? Will you change us from the inside out that we may glorify you and honor you, O God? Lord, change our hearts. We pray for Governor Bob Ferguson, President Trump, Patty Murray, Maria Cantwell, Michael Baumgartner. We pray for Suzanne Schmidt. We pray for Leonard Christian. We pray for, God, we pray that you would, Rob Chase, we pray that you would bring salvation to those who need salvation. God, that you would bring hope to those that need hope, that you would go before them, God, surrounding them, Lord, in such a way. Lord, we know that as we go through we had the primaries, elections, now we have the general elections. God, we pray that you would be with each person running for office. Let them run in integrity. God, let your ideas win in the public square, in the minds of others, and go before us today in Jesus' name. Amen. Now get out there and defend in advance biblical values in the public square. God bless.
You love our beautiful state, but does fighting for issues that most affect families ever feel like you're climbing alone? It can feel like an uphill climb in a hostile environment that champions causes detrimental to Washington families. Again and again, the summit feels out of reach, but you don't have to climb alone. With like-minded people fighting for Washington families by your side, the journey becomes not just possible, but powerful. The Defender app, brought to you by the Family Policy Institute of Washington, connects you with your team for the climb ahead. Connect with conservatives who care about issues affecting families in your specific county and across our state in order to make our voices be heard locally and in Olympia. Simply click Learn to stay informed about the latest news affecting families. With one click, press Huddle to team up with other conservative minds in your specific county who care about how these issues affect you and your unique community. Then simply press Activate to get involved and to make your voice heard on legislation that matters in Olympia. With the Washington Defender app, you won't face the fight alone. Together, we can make a difference for families in Washington. Download the Washington Defender app today, a simple way to let your voice be heard.